Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hey, hi, this is Sean Sutner, news and feature writer for Search Health IT. I'm here at HIMSS 2015 in Chicago with Mac McMillan, co-founder and CEO of Synergistic, health data security and privacy consulting firm. Thanks for being here, Mac.
Thank you.
Okay, so since I last interviewed you at AHIMA in September, two major healthcare industry data breaches have come to light, Anthem and Primera. So what has changed in the health data security world since then?
I don't know that there's been any demonstrable major changes. I think there's been a lot more attention given to the issue, obviously. There's obviously some legislation out there that's being proposed with respect to data sharing around threat information and other, you know, looking at things around encryption and looking at things around breach notification and that sort of thing. There were some concerns, obviously, as to when those notifications were made and whether they were soon enough or whatnot. And in that regard, I think if we could, that's one of the things that I see as a positive. If we could actually come up with a federal notification rule for all industries across the board that was equal and get rid of all these different state-level requirements and federal requirements so that industry out there, whether it's healthcare or whomever, knows when I have an issue, this is what the rule is, right? And they're not trying to balance all these different state iterations. I think that would be very helpful to the industry to have a balanced approach to that. I worry a little bit about the legislation, when I hear things about legislation around encryption, because I think some people have the wrong idea of what the problems that encryption might solve. It certainly should be part of your toolkit. It should be part of your secure architecture, but it's not a panacea. It doesn't solve all your woes, and so it has to be utilized smartly. But I think the biggest outcome since then has really been the attention that we've seen. And I like the idea of this, the attacking the problem of sharing threat information with the practitioners in the industry, right? Because I think that, you know, the folks that are running security at a hospital need that information just as much as the guy at a bank or the guy in the government or what have you, right? The what they're facing is the same.
Okay, good. Okay, so an FBI cybersecurity expert or agent said here at HIMSS yesterday at a panel I attended that cyber attacks against healthcare organizations are multiplying quickly, and that about half of the intrusions are crime-based, and about half are state-sponsored. So can you talk a little bit about the differences and similarities between these two kinds of threats?
Sure. Well, crime-based, obviously, usually it's done with a financial motive, right? In other words, they're stealing information for the purpose of you know, selling that information or benefiting from that information in a financial way. State-sponsored hacking can be for a number of reasons. It can be for intellectual property, understanding how our companies do what they do, understanding what the latest techniques are for how we do certain things, and so that they can share that with their own industries and give them the ability to compete with ours. It could be for economic intelligence. It could be for, in other words, it could be for a number of reasons that are not necessarily crime related or financial related. So you never really know with a state-sponsored threat. But interestingly enough, the people who perpetrate the state-sponsored hack are the same people that perpetrate some of the criminal attacks. And so you end up with a guy attacking your network for intellectual property reasons, maybe, but then he ends up taking your data because he's going to go sell it on the black market. So I don't know. I don't necessarily know which is worse, right? But certainly, you know, I do want to say this. I want to, you know, from our customers that we work with across the country, the ones that actually interface with their local FBI office and their data security folks have had nothing but great things to say about the Bureau. And I think that's a credit to them, and I think it's a credit to the support they provide to industry.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what kind of roles do the FBI and Department of Homeland Security play in helping protect healthcare organizations from attacks on data networks? So they talked a little bit about it yesterday, but are they becoming more of a presence in this field? Or
they are becoming more of a presence. I mean, I think they're going to become an even bigger presence as time goes on, because this is not going to be a problem that we solve locally. This is going to be a problem that we solve as a neighborhood, so to speak, right? And I think DHS and the FBI and other organizations within the government that deal with these kinds of issues and have the intelligence that they can help folks be better able to protect themselves and better able to respond are going to become incredibly important. And I know that part of the legislation that came out or that was proposed last year was for funding to the Bureau and to DHS for industry outreach. And I think that's great because, I mean, I spent 20-plus years in the federal government. You know, we always had better intelligence, so to speak, than what the private sector had. But I think there is a lot of that information that, if it's handled properly, can absolutely be shared and help folks do a better job at the local level. At the same time, the folks at the federal level are trying to support them.
Okay, so what are just a couple of the newest, best technologies to prevent and detect health data breaches, and how expensive are they?
So for me, probably the number one technology to help protect in breach situations is data loss prevention. The ability to actually monitor what's leaving the institution and where it's going, to be able to detect it before it leaves and block it, you know, can absolutely stop some of the hemorrhaging, if you will, of data. You know, obviously, encryption, as I said, isn't a panacea, but it certainly is something that every organization ought to be incorporating into their environment as it relates, especially to mobile devices and that sort of thing. I think another technology that's beginning to emerge again and is going to play a more important role going forward is NAC, Network Access Control. The ability to actually interrogate devices and folks that are trying to connect to our network and determine whether they're friend or foe. So I think there are several things out there, but I think, you know, for me, where we are today, I think we really need to improve our ability to detect and to react effectively.
Okay, so what's more important to health data security, changing the culture of organizations or the new high-end technologies, or both?
I actually think it's both, but I think one's a byproduct of the other. And what I mean by that is this. Unless we change the culture of an organization to actually believe that privacy and security are a priority or that are critical to their business, it's highly unlikely that they're going to invest in the new technology. So I'd say they're both important, but one is a byproduct of the other. And I think that one of the things that we still have to do is, you know, security needs to become a board issue. You know, because it's not just about data. It's not just about somebody's privacy. It's now about the business. When hospitals go down, it's the estimate is it's $500,000 an hour, right, in terms of cost. That's real cost. You know, we had a hospital go down a couple of months ago that was down for 16 hours. So if I use the math, that's an $8 million hit in one day, right? And that doesn't include all of the other costs that's associated with the disruption and the resumption and et cetera. So So it, you know, these are real costs to the business, right? When you look at those breaches that you mentioned from last year, Anthem and Premiera and CHS, I mean, you look at the cost that those folks have actually admitted to so far with respect to those issues, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to address those breaches already, and they haven't even gone to court. And
not to mention the incalculable damage to their brand.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, so it's, you know, so there are real costs associated with these incidents that are happening. You asked what has changed. Well, one thing I know has changed is, like, the insurance industry, for instance, that offers cyber insurance is beginning to question whether they're charging enough for that stuff. And we've had several clients who have told us that their premiums have gone up 3 to 5-fold since those breaches occurred. We also have insurance companies that are beginning to now look at it and say, maybe we need to have more stringent underwriting provisions, meaning you have to actually demonstrate that you've got good security before we'll insure you, right? So if they start doing that, for those organizations who haven't decided that security is a priority yet, they're going to find it either difficult to get insurance or it's going to cost them an arm and a leg, right? So I think there are some impacts from these issues that are going to have a tremendous effect on healthcare.
All right, last question. A recent survey that my organization, TechTarget, did, we did a survey of 340 health IT professionals' buying intentions for 2015. They found that by far security was the biggest area across all these organizations. How busy is your company these days?
We are extremely busy. We have had record growth the last 3 years, and you know it's busier than it's ever been, and that's a good thing, obviously, for us. I think it's actually even a good thing for the industry, because it tells me that folks are beginning to take it seriously, and I think ultimately, you know, we still have a ways to go as an industry to get where we need to be. But I'm hopeful that we're going to get there. I mean, I've been doing this now for 15 years since I left the government, and the difference between where we were in 2001 and where we are today is night and day. And I think that's just going to continue.
All right, Mac, thanks so much for being here with Search Health IT at HIMSS 2015.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.